Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Royal Watcher podcast. My name is Saad Salman. I'm the founder and editor of the Royal Watcher, a royal commentator, and a royal contributor for Alt.com.
And my name is Sam Gillespie. I am the editor of the Beaumont. I have a background in fine jewelry and a long-held fascination with history and royalty.
And today we're having a really special episode looking at all the details of the upcoming coronation of King Charles and Queen Camilla. Sam, what are you most looking forward to?
Well, I still hold out the hope that I'm going to see more than one tiara. It's recent rumours that have been floating around the internet may suggest that we're not going to get it, but I live in hope. I live in hope. I really hope we see at least the main female members of the royal family. Just a little tiara, just a tiny little one. Make me happy. So that's
I
what
mean,
I'm...
I would hope for the big gun ones, so even the tiny one would be a possibility.
What if I just think if I hope for the little ones and then they bring out the big ones, then I'll be extra happy.
Yes. No, I mean, they can take our tiaras, but they can't take away our hope.
Damn right.
I don't even know what they're on about, who's advising them. It's been quite a interesting situation. But as those watching can see, this is what the dress code we are hoping that the senior members of the royal family will be wearing. The men in uniform, we know it's a collar day for the Order of the Garter. So those who have them will be wearing the full collar of the garter with the sash of the Order of the Thistle. And then ladies should be in evening gowns and tiaras. I would think a bit of limited necklaces and stuff because it is day wear. They don't want to go out too much, but let's hope this surprises a bit.
Yeah, and will they be all wearing the royal orders?
Hopefully. I think one thing we may be able to look forward to is the royal family order of the king, which will hopefully be worn by the ladies no matter what their dress code. So that is something that's kind of gotten lost in recent days with the varied coverage coming out, but I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Hopefully.
So let's hope they don't disappoint us.
What color do you think it will be?
I'm hoping for like a pale green.
Me too.
Environmental kind of passions and everything.
That seems to be the consensus. A nice green.
A green for him, and then I was thinking return to sky blue for King William.
Okay. Well, touch wood, we'll have a while before that one.
Hopefully. I mean, given how this coronation's going, let's hope you're out of the cost of living crisis by that time so we can get everything properly done.
Oh, well, fingers crossed.
Definitely. One thing for sure that will be there is the spectacular coronation regalia, which for those in the know, it has roots in medieval kind of crown jewels, but most of the coronation regalia was created brand new in 1661 after the original was destroyed by Cromwell during the English Civil War.
Yes, that. So it's the they. There are there's some gems that might have survived that are actually on the imperial crown. But yes, when we killed the first King Charles, we took all his stuff and we melted it down, and then we had to start fresh when we changed our minds.
Definitely. Yeah, no. So kind of the highlight of the collection is this St. Edward's crown, which is only used for the crowning of the sovereign, and it remains in the Tower of London, not to be worn again. It'll be carried into Westminster Abbey by the governor of the Tower of London and High Steward of England, and the crowning will be carried out by the Archbishop of Canterbury. Afterwards, the king will take off St. Edward's crown and replace it with the Imperial State Crown, while Queen Camilla will be crowned with the crown of Queen Mary, which includes the Cullinan 3, 4, and 5 diamonds. Cullinan 2 is in the Imperial State Crown, and Cullinan 1, which is the world's largest colorless diamond, is in the king's in the sovereign scepter with the cross. So we're seeing quite a lot of major bling.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they don't get much bigger than the Cullinans.
Definitely. And the scepter was due to be carried by the Duke of Buccleuch in Queensbury, but unfortunately his wife has passed away last week. Right now, the kind of consensus is that he is still going to carry out his role despite everything, but it may change the next few days.
Oh, that's a shame, because obviously we were looking forward to the Duchess being one of the few ladies who aren't in the royal family to possibly wearing some of her impressive jewels. But yeah, rest in peace. Sad news.
Yeah, no, I'm no personally, I was looking forward to seeing that diamond belt that we both saw last year on display at Sotheby's. And I was kind of hoping they're going for the state opening parliament route, because the Duke of Wellington is carrying the Queen's crown, and we could have both of the duchesses properly bejeweled up like they are at the state opening parliament. It would be something nice for us to see.
Well, hopefully there'll still be some bling. But yeah, that diamond belt is something else.
Yes, it's, I think, one of the most spectacular pieces of jewelry I've ever seen.
But yeah, same.
I remember both of us, like, our jaws fully dropped when we saw that
thing. It's just because they didn't advertise it, and it's just by coincidence.
Yes, and we were just discussing their jewels like 2 minutes before that.
Literally going, oh my God, have you ever heard about the belt they own? Oh, it's amazing. And then you just went, is that the belt?
We turned the corner and realized,
belt.
Someone should have recorded that, because that was a very fun day.
Oh yeah, we totally didn't record because we were told not to do that by Sotheby's. Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. I mean, some of us. I mean, I saw some pictures of it actually online on Instagram.
Wow.
So I didn't release it because, I mean, the family wanted it private, but
yeah.
I have an article on the Duchess of Buccleuch tiaras. Go check that out.
Exactly.
Famous plug. So with all the crown jewels, they'll be carried by a kind of host of people. A lot of them are hereditary peers, there's a bunch of life peers, and also some kind of ordinary people that were chosen for their service and their roles in the military and in the church.
Okay, yep.
That's element that they have retained for this coronation, more so than we kind of expected.
Yeah, I think the general, you know, in our discussions we've been having and all the Royal Watchers have been having, it's a very tricky, this coronation is going to be a very tricky one, because on the one hand, they want to obviously keep it traditional. It is a very traditional ceremony, but it's 2023 and we have to have some modernity. We have to incorporate the fact that the Great Britain of today is vastly different from the Great Britain of 1953 when Queen Elizabeth II was crowned. So it's going to be interesting to see the incorporation of the traditional aspects. But we also know that King Charles is a great modernizer, and he has asked to bring new elements into this ceremony. So it's going to be very, it's not going to be like any ceremony we've ever seen before, put it that way.
Definitely, yeah. And we're seeing, like, especially because all the coronation regalia is being carried by different individuals. They'll be presented to the king by a whole different set of individuals. The peers will present kind of individual pieces, like the robe, the orb, the ring, the coronation glove. They all belong to different faiths, so it's not just the Church of England or the Church of Scotland. It's there's a Muslim peer, a Hindu peer, a Sikh peer. So, and I believe a Jewish peer as well. So they're really trying to represent people of all faiths in this ceremony, which is a really kind of nice, like, modernization gesture.
It is, yes. And I think King Charles for many years has said that a famous title of the British monarch is Defender of the Faith. I won't get into that. It goes back to the Protestant Reformation. But Charles has often said that he wanted to be defender of all faiths. And he's very, you know, I think he's a very cultured and well-read man. And, you know, he's very interested in Buddhism, and he, you know, spent a lot of time studying Islam. So very good, very modernizing that he is incorporating this into what, you know, fundamentally is a Protestant ceremony. So I think it's fantastic that he's bringing these elements in.
Definitely. I gave an interview last year right after the Queen's passing at the London Central Mosque, and one of the other guests at the time was one of the King's close friends, who's also Muslim, and he gave a really kind of interesting speech. But one of the statements that stuck with me was that he said King Charles is the most inclusive and kind of understanding leader that he has ever known. And he feels that the gestures he does, they're done really out of a very kind of genuine place, and it's there's no kind of malice or like PR intended. It's really because he feels this way rather than it being, okay, no, I'm just doing it to get
yeah,
a good headline.
For the optics, yeah. No, I genuinely believe he's very like a deep character, and he's interested in, you know, philosophy and religion and what's going on all around. And so, yeah, it speaks to his character that he's including all the many different faiths that we have in Great Britain.
Definitely. And I'm looking forward to seeing kind of the coronation regalia being used. We'll see the king step out of the abbey in the imperial state crown. He'll have a scepter in one hand, the orb in the other, and then the queen will be wearing her crown. I'm not sure if she'll have her scepters as well, but it'll be quite an fun official portrait that we'll hopefully get to see.
I wonder if it'll be like 1953, where they have the photographs in the throne room in Buckingham Palace.
I was wondering about that too. We'll see kind of later on when we talk about the thrones and stuff. But it'll be interesting if they do a kind of group picture like they did back then, because from what I've heard, there's kind of no plans for the transition for the kind of foreign royals to return to the palace after the coronation ceremony. So they may take the picture during their reception held the night before, or there might not be any picture at all.
Yeah, so that's another feature that we've all been discussing, that foreign royals have and heads of states have been invited to the ceremony itself, whereas in the past it was traditional not to send a reigning monarch, it was to send their heir.
Exactly, and this is kind of reflecting, if you look at it, the coronation in Japan, they have the heads of state attending. Then kind of the last place where we saw that more traditional approach was in the Netherlands 10 years ago exactly, when King Willem Alexander seated the throne, and they only sent heirs for that. But I think in this day and age, there's not that many deputy kind of leaders, so it does make sense to send the top heirs to the coronation, unless the sovereigns cannot attend due to health reasons, as we'll discuss. Yeah, and then so the royal guests who have confirmed their attendance are the King and Crown Princess of Sweden, the King and Queen of the Netherlands, with Princess Beatrix and the Prince of Orange attending their reception the night before, since the King and Queen are busy with Liberation Day celebrations. There's going to be the King and Queen of Spain, the King and Queen of Belgium, but only the King and Crown Princess will attend the reception at Buckingham Palace. There's going to be the King and Queen of Jordan, the King and Queen of Bhutan, the King and Queen of Malaysia, the King and Queen of Thailand, of Tonga, the Grand Duke and Grand Duchess of Luxembourg, the Prince and Princess of Monaco, the Hervey Prince and Princess of Liechtenstein. And then there are some heirs, like the Crown Prince and Crown Princess of Denmark, of Norway, of Japan. And then a bunch of kind of exiled and former royals, like Queen Anne-Marie and Crown Prince Pavlos of Greece, Tsar Simon and Queen Margarita of Bulgaria, the custodian of the Crown of Romania, Crown Prince Alexander, and the Crown Princess of Serbia. So in addition to kind of the reigning royals, the exiled European royals are also going to be present.
Yes, and for people who don't know, we have a theory that that's just mainly based on familial relationships. So it's not to say that the king is condoning the, how do I put it? He obviously respects that these countries are now republics, but a lot of these former monarchs are his sort of very close family. So we think they've been invited due to familial ties as opposed to anything political.
Definitely. And I'm pretty sure that the Republican head of states of these countries are invited as well. So they're definitely attending in more of a private capacity than in an official capacity.
Yeah, exactly. Very diplomatic.
So as we saw at the Queen's funeral, they will probably be seated in front of the other heads of state. So the royal family does kind of give them their proper ranking in that sense.
Yeah.
No matter how fussy the Brits can get about foreign titles.
I'm not fussy. I like them.
Some people, I'm afraid, are friends of ours who have been on the podcast before are not big fans of the exiles.
Well, but that's their prerogative too.
That's their prerogative. And I mean, I understand their point in some cases, especially when they claim other things, but it's interesting to see kind of their historic role is being acknowledged. At the same time, we have do know that the foreign royals will not be in full evening gowns and tiaras. The men will probably be in uniforms, and since it's full kind of garter collar day, we'll see those with the Order of the Garter kind of fully decked out. The rest, I think, will be in morning dress, and the ladies will hopefully bring a bit of bling for us, for our sake,
yep,
but not kind of full evening gowns and tiaras and stuff. Some interesting kind of advice that we both know was revealed to us was that they're being told to treat the dress code like the Japanese inauguration, which, as we both know, had court dress, which is full gowns with sashes and hats. So the kind of advice is interesting. I'm not sure how many of the royals will kind of carry that out and to what extent they can follow that.
I mean, I'd be happy with a nice big pair of diamond earrings and a nice brooch. That's all I want, ladies. That's all I want.
I mean, Queen Maxima hopefully will wear the Stuart diamond in brooch form or necklace form or stick it on her hat. I'm hoping Crown Princess Mary wears something from the Pearl Poirier, because that's been worn for previous coronations. Same goes for the Crown Princess of Norway. She can wear something from the Emerald Poirier, which has been worn for the past three British coronations. So there's stuff they can incorporate into their outfits that would certainly take it up a whole notch. Because even at the Queen's funeral, a lot of the ladies did bring quite a lot of bling. So this is a coronation that should hopefully dial it even up even more.
Fingers crossed.
And there's also that cocktail reception at Buckingham Palace. So that may also bring some interesting outfits and jewels for us to cover. Hopefully.
Hopefully. I live in hope, as I said at the beginning.
Yes. I think they're waiting last minute for that kind of... I don't know if you used to read the Order of Splendor blog.
But yes. You
talk about... I think it was when the Queen's Diamond Jubilee dinner happened at Buckingham Palace and Queen Anne-Marie showed up in the rubies. And I still remember that sentence, the reading, oh, Anne-Marie had her rubies ready in case the tiara signal flashed in the sky at the last minute. I think all the queens should have that, keep in mind that it might flash at the last minute.
Like I said, I love that ruby, the Greek rubies. So if I could see those, I'd be happy.
Yes. I mean, I would think that she would incorporate the emeralds and the rubies into her outfit. So fingers crossed. Yes. But definitely, so that kind of covers the foreign royal guests. Now talking about the British royal guests, we kind of mentioned this a bit before, but just kind of recap. With this kind of dress code, we're expecting it to look more like the state opening of Parliament, which has guests in morning dress, day dress, hats and stuff. But members of the royal family, the royal household, and a bunch of peers, they fully dress up in uniforms, orders, gowns, tiaras, crowns, and everything. So I'm hoping that is going to be the same case this time for the coronation. That's a similar dress code for at least the working members of the royal family, if not everyone else.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's a very strange atmosphere in England at the moment. And again, it's one of those things where there are people saying, you know, we want the bling, we want the pomp, we want the ceremony. But as well, you've got to remember that we're not going through a particularly great economic situation at the moment. So is it going to look off? Is it going to look a little bit too ridiculous? You know, you've got everyone's on strike. A lot of people are having to use, soup kitchens, for want of a better word. But at the same time, it's going to look really strange if, you know, Charles and the members of the royal family just turn up in what you'd go to a restaurant in. So yeah, it's a very difficult balancing act at the moment.
Kind of thinking is, would kind of the ladies turning up in coat dresses kind of benefit any of the people there? And I mean, optics wise, I think it would look even more strange because it kind of represents a more kind of disunified picture where you're not able to put on the full show because of the circumstances where the monarchy is kind of supposed to represent everything doing well.
Yeah.
It's kind of very mixed feelings on that aspect.
Very, very at the moment. It's a very confusing, what's the word? It's the mood. The mood's very odd.
Definitely. And it's much changed from last year's Platinum Jubilee celebrations when economic crisis wasn't as bad as it is now.
Yeah, it's very strange. I wonder if it's, you know, because it was the Queen or people are a bit hesitant about Charles. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of that and also the media frenzy kind of whipped up, which also pisses people off. But definitely lots of kind of questions that still remain and something for us to hopefully look forward to rather than be disappointed by.
Yes, you can only hope.
And one thing we will see, I mean, speaking of out of touch, is the King and Queen will ride back to Buckingham Palace in the massive Golden State Coach, which date back to 1760 and is mainly used for coronations, though the Queen used it a couple of times during her reign. And it's said to be quite uncomfortable. That's why they're only using it for one step of the journey. But I think it'll be quite a splendid sight regardless.
Yeah. Again, as I say, it looks amazing. It's a traditional thing that has been used in the coronations. You know, and it is... I think it was made in Britain, was it?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, so that would, you know, that's a wonderful relic of British craftsmanship, and, you know, we should all be very proud of it. Again, optically, don't know if it's going to go down well.
Yeah, it really does depend. I'm not sure kind of long-term how it will go, but I feel it's one of those things that people overanalyze stuff right now, but on the day itself, there'll be, like when I was thinking of the top three, four images that I'm going to put in my article, I think there's one going to be on the balcony of Buckingham Palace, and then one main one of kind of the royal family, or the king's crowning, the actual moment of that. And the third one would probably be the foreign royal guest. So this is like delegating it way down the line. So it's a part of it, but it's probably won't be like the main highlights. People will probably forget about it sooner or later.
Yeah, and again, as I say that, when I say it might be not well received, let's be honest, the people lining the route to the Mall who are going to see this are ardent royalists, so they will be cheering. So
yeah, they are the ones looking forward to this.
Yes.
And then at the same time, we have some information yesterday about what the king will be wearing, and he's recycling the vestments used in the coronation services of King George IV, King George V, VI, and the Queen. So almost 200 years old, which includes something called the Columbian Sindonis, the Super Tunica, the Imperial Mantle, the Coronation Sword Belt, and the Coronation Glove.
Wow. I'm amazed that they're using things from George IV's reign.
Exactly, because I think that's the belt and stuff. These tunics, they date back to George VI, so they're still almost like 85 years old.
Yeah, you can still sort of wear them. But yeah, George IV, wow.
Definitely, I mean, definitely historic relics. But it's kind of interesting that they made this whole thing about it being reused when it is kind of a coronation ritual. It's almost like the crown jewels at this point.
Yeah. I wonder do you know if they're displayed when they're not being used?
Apparently they're displayed with the crown jewels of the Tower of London.
Okay. I have not been in years.
I cannot tell you.
No. I think I've been, for someone who's lived in London her entire life and who works in the jewelry trade, I've been to the Tower of London once.
Oh. I mean, it's once more than me. I decided on my pass, I visited London 3 times last year. All the times, like, no, I don't want to go to the Tower of London. And then the Queen passed away and I saw the crown in person, and I was like, that makes it even more worth it to see it in person rather than being used for the ceremony than it was to kind of see it in the jewel house.
Yeah. I mean, it's very, you know, we're not putting the Tower of London down or historic royal palaces. It's very nice, very interesting in there. But yeah, I'm not paying you £30 to go and see it. Like, end off.
Yeah. And then at the same time, the palace also released information about the robes being used by the king and queen, which, I mean, they will wear two different set of robes, the robes of state and the robes of estate, some of which are being reused, and then others are being created brand new by the Royal School of Needlework. So the palace released quite a lot of information about that in a few days ago, and how the king and queen have been to see all the embroidery and the work being done.
Oh, wonderful. So that's another nice thing. You know, obviously what with modern technology and everything seems to, I mean, we're not really getting the same level of, what's the word? Couture, cloak, costume. Sorry, I'm trying to say, like, you know how Norman Hartnell did the whole everyone's gowns last time in the 50s?
Exactly. Yeah.
Don't really have a Norman Hartnell-esque operation going on this time. So it's good to see that they've brought in some experts.
Definitely. So the king is using the robes made for King George VI in 1937. Queen Camilla is using one of the robes made for the queen in 53, and then her robe of estate is the one that's being made new by their old school needlework.
Oh,
or the embroidery is being done by them and being made by someone else.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
And so interesting kind of development of stuff they've been releasing in recent days. Hopefully today we'll include information on the royal family's dress code and the tiaras and stuff. But I mean, should we keep on hoping or be disappointed now and focus on other things?
Maybe if we keep our expectations really, really low, then we'll be pleasantly surprised.
Hopefully. And at the same time, so yesterday the royal family have released kind of information on the throne and the historic chairs which will be used. So the king will be crowned in the historic St. Edward's chair, which is more than 700 years old. And the most interesting fact I think about that is the fact it has graffiti from schoolboys who in the reign of Queen Victoria who kind of just used to scribble stuff on it.
Which I find amazing. Like,
one of the most historic pieces of furniture.
Yeah, I mean, I don't imagine they were popping in there on their, you know, their break. So, you know, where was the headmaster where they were sitting there graffitiing one of the oldest relics in English history?
One of them is apparently the future Lord Curzon, who fellow South Asians is a very divisive figure.
Oh, so, that one.
That one, yeah. So there's that. And then in the past, in the throne room of Buckingham Palace, new chairs have been made for every coronation. But for this one, they are restoring the chairs used for the Queen and Duke of Edinburgh and adding new fabric with the ciphers of the King and Queen.
Oh, wonderful.
So it's good in one sense, but also in the past, like the old throne chairs used to go on the side of the throne room, and we could kind of see those. And we won't be able to do that with the Queen and Duke of Edinburgh's chairs now because they're going to be in the center and recycled. In that sense.
Mm.
But no, definitely lots of things to look forward to for that. I think there's a lot of stuff coming up this weekend, Sam. What specific event do you think is going to be the highlight for you?
I think it would be nice. It's usually traditional in Britain to, when there is a big sort of like a jubilee, you tend to have more of a, like a street party, which is like, you know, all the community come together and they have, you know, like just like sandwiches and cakes and all that kind of stuff. And I think they're changing it for this coronation. It's going to be called the Big Lunch. So I know that there's a couple of community centres in and around my area, at least, that are holding a little celebration. It's not going to be big, but it's just something for, you know, to sort of mark the day. So that would be quite nice for people, I think.
Definitely. It'll be a great way for kind of communities to get together, because I think the day itself is a Saturday, but you do have a bank holiday off for the coronation, right?
We do. And that's why we love the monarchy. We get these random days off. Though I wish they would, you know, there's already a bank holiday in May. We couldn't have done this in July. Come on.
I know. Last year in Canada, we had two bank holidays at the same day in the month of September. And then a third one came for the Queen's funeral. So people were quite pissed off because it kind of disrupted not only the work schedule, but they kind of wanted a bit
spread
more
it out planned. A bit. And we've literally just had, I mean, at the beginning of April was Easter. So we had a long weekend then. And today's a bank, sorry, yesterday was the 1st of May, which is a bank holiday. And at the end of the month, there's another bank holiday. So no one's getting any work done in May.
Of course. So, I mean, good for people who don't like to work. And yeah, for those who are more productive, they're probably not too happy.
No, that's just like me.
Anyway, I think this has been a great episode catching up. And hopefully next week we'll both be together and recording post-coronation. We thought about it.
And with a bit of luck, we'll have loads to discuss.
Hopefully, lots of tiaras to dissect.
Fingers crossed. Wonderful. Okay, well, yeah, look forward to seeing everyone next week.
Wonderful. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.